What's up, people? It's your favorite neighborhood pharmacist, and I am back for another episode of Health Facts. Y'all know I am crazy excited to be here on this Wednesday because I'm here alive and well, and my plants are still alive. I couldn't be more thankful. Before I begin my therapy session with you guys, I just wanted to say this. Maybe y'all didn't notice when you pulled up the episode, but look down at your phone because we are on episode number 10. Woo! Time to celebrate. That means we have been here. We have been at this for over 2 months. So, you know what? I can now retire, hang up the hat, call it quits. It's been a great run. I'm just kidding, just kidding, just kidding, y'all. I have not even started. There are more great episodes to come. But I did want to take a moment here to thank you guys for writing it out with me and keeping me motivated to keep doing this and all that. Now, enough with the mooshiness. Let's go to what we really came here to talk about. So for the next few weeks, I have decided that I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to start a new series where I go over the top 10 public health issues in America. And I have decided to start with a very popular one on this episode. Now, this one might hit close to home for most of y'all, and that's why I decided to start with this one. I'm here to chew out, criticize, chastise, castigate. Yes, I definitely just got a thesaurus to get all this more, all these words. And you know what? Let's get to it. We are going to talk about alcohol-related harms. That's one of our top public health issues right now in the United States. So, you know, one thing we do quite often in healthcare or public health is this. If you want to bring attention to a topic of interest, you have to let people know, why is it so important? Why is this topic worth your time? So what do? We spit some data and statistics. Now, why do we do this? Because data speaks volume, it's evidence, and it exposes the problem. So I'm going to do just that. Just one. So did you know that more than 95,000 people die from excessive alcohol use in the U.S. each year? Each year. And I'm not making this up. Totally true. I pulled my data from CDC.gov. And according to my very reliable sources, chronic diseases from excessive alcohol use accounts for a majority of these deaths. But some other causes include like alcohol poisoning, suicide, and alcohol-related crashes. Now, let's take a few steps back and talk briefly about alcohol. We're going to talk history. Human beings and alcohol go way back. Now, I'm talking somewhere in the BCs. Probably when farmers discovered that fermented fruits had a little kick to them. Now, the actual manufacturing of alcohol began about 10,000 years ago when alcohol was fermented in a bit of honey and wild yeast. Now, don't try this at home. Then it started to become more of an item for sale. And to emphasize the importance of alcohol to some people back in the day, the Babylonians worshipped a wine goddess at some time in history. Yeah, apparently was some good stuff. The wine was. Anyway, around the beginning of the 18th century, the British Parliament passed a law that encouraged the use of grain for distilling spirits. Then, cheap spirits began to flood the market, and it reached its peak in the mid-18th century. And then, the 19th century came around, and all of a sudden, policymakers were like, y'all drinking too much, cut it down. Then, they started to push for prohibition of alcohol. Now, amongst all the awesomeness that came with the roaring 20s, there was the prohibition, which wasn't so awesome. Now, in 1920, the U.S. decided to prohibit the manufacture, sale, import, and export of intoxicating liquors. And you know how we humans are. They say stop, we say make me. Needless to say, illegal alcohol trade started to grow. But in the 1933, the policymakers were like, damn, these people are still getting their alcohol and we're basically missing out because we can't tax something that's illegal. Early days FOMO. Anyways, the alcohol prohibition got canceled. Now, to our modern day alcohol problem. It is estimated that about 15 million Americans suffer from alcoholism, and 40% of all car accident deaths in the U.S. involve alcohol. Now, just to give a quick clarification, when I talk about our alcohol problem, okay, you guys, I am not just referring to chronic alcohol drinkers. I am talking about y'all binge drinkers as well. And if anyone is confused about who's who, I am going to take a moment to give some definitions. Now, let's start with the basics. What is alcohol? Now, according to Miss Merriam-Webster, I just assume it's a miss, alcohol is a drink containing ethanol, aka alcohol. Easy enough. But SAMHSA defines binge drinking as 5 or more alcoholic drinks for male and 4 or more alcoholic drinks for females on the same occasion on at least one day in the past month. Now, I don't care if you decide to space your drink by 1 hour. According to SAMHSA, you are still a binge drinker. So all of our college party owls, binge drinkers, I hope y'all are listening. Now, SAMHSA also defines heavy alcohol use as binge drinking 5 or more days in the past month. Now, that would be, you know, what we define as binge drinking, but doing that for 5 or more days instead of one. All right, now that we're all clear on the definitions, let's talk a little bit about the alcohol use disorder. Now, what is alcohol use disorder? It's called AUD, alcohol use disorder, or ALD as I like to pronounce it. Now, I think it's a pretty difficult one to talk about, but let me define it real quick. So, according to NIH, it is a chronic relapsing brain disorder characterized by an impaired ability to stop or control alcohol use despite adverse social, occupational, or health consequences. Now, for someone to be diagnosed with AUD, there's some criteria that has to be met. And these criteria were kind of outlined in the DSM-5, which I think I mentioned before in my substance abuse episode. Now, it's a manual that is used to assess and diagnose mental disorders. Now, anyway, a person can be diagnosed with AUD if they meet any two of the following 11 criteria in a 12-month period. And this includes, number one, listen carefully, people, drinking alcohol in larger amounts over a longer period than was intended. Number two, having persistent desire for alcohol or unsuccessful efforts to cut down or control alcohol use. Three, spending a great deal of time in activities necessary to obtain alcohol use or recover from its effects. Having strong desire or urge to use alcohol. Now that's number four. Number five, failing to fulfill major role obligations at work, school, or home due to recurring alcohol use. Number six, continuing to use alcohol despite having persistent or recurrent social or interpersonal problems caused or worsened by the effects of alcohol. Number seven, giving up or decreasing important social, occupational, or recreational activities because of alcohol use. Number eight, recurrently using alcohol in situations where it is physically hazardous. Number 9, continuing to use alcohol despite knowing that some of your problems are likely to have been caused or worsened by alcohol use. Number 10, you experience tolerance with alcohol. And 11, you experience withdrawals without alcohol. Now, if you want definitions on tolerance and withdrawals, I did mention it on my episode on substance abuse, which is called America's Drug Problem. You can go on there and you will learn some more about abuse, withdrawals, tolerance, things like that. Now, if you feel that or feel like any of the stuff that I just mentioned applies to you or someone that you really care about, you definitely should seek help. It literally could save lives. Now, you can start by visiting SAMHSA, SAMHSA.gov. It has a huge selection of resources that may be beneficial to you. Now, that being said, here are some reasons why someone may become a chronic alcohol user. Let me set the scene. You are at a party and then you get pressured, peer pressured, into drinking. Or you're the peer pressurer who thinks that you can control your liquor usage. Now, for some people, it may be because of a traumatic experience, a huge loss, physical and mental abuse, depression, even genetics. Yeah, some people can be genetically predisposed to alcoholism. And some people can learn it. It could be a learned behavior from having a relative who was an alcohol abuser. Now, alcohol disorder obviously may develop from this as a result. And you know, it starts with pleasurable feelings from drinking alcohol, but then it develops into chemical changes in the brain from constant use. It develops slowly over time. Even sometimes the drinker may no longer get that pleasurable feeling from drinking that they used to get, but then they feel like they have to continue because of the horrible withdrawal feelings that they get from when they try to quit. Now, these may include anxiety, shaky hands, headache, nausea, vomiting, insomnia, and sweating. And this is just within 6 hours of quitting. Now, it may go up to hallucinations, seizures, fever, high blood pressure, racing heart, confusion, and it's not fun at all. These are things that may occur after 12 hours to like 72 hours, which is three days or so after quitting alcohol. Now, the process, this should not be taken or undertaken without the supervision of a professional. A healthcare provider will need to monitor the process and treat resultant symptoms accordingly. There are treatment programs in place for this particular purpose. There are also 12-step programs such as Alcoholics Anonymous that provide group support and help individuals manage their triggers and learn coping strategies. Now, that being said, do not be quick to judge individuals who are going through AUD. I understand your feelings are very valid because there are a lot of bad decisions, negativity, and aggressions associated with excessive alcohol use. But if you can, please find some sympathy from deep down inside. Because a lot of these individuals, they have a constant battle with themselves. There's so much pain associated with this disorder. And excessive drinking does come with its own negative symptoms, not just the withdrawals, but the drinking itself. I mean, like I mentioned, sometimes people just continue drinking, not because they're getting the pleasurable effects from it, but because they feel so crappy when they try to stop. I mean, they literally feel sick. And the only way that they can stop feeling sick is by getting another drink. Now, this is one of the reasons why there is increased risk of suicide amongst these individuals. Now, there are also short-term health risks and long-term health risks associated with excessive alcohol drinking. Now, short-term ones include injuries such as motor vehicle crashes, falls, drownings, burns, violence such as homicide, suicide, sexual assault, and intimate partner violence. Now, I hate these the most because it puts lives outside of oneself at risk. And deaths from drunk driving just make me very, very, very upset. Now, there's also alcohol poisoning, which is a medical emergency, and that comes from excessive drinking to a point where it becomes like a toxic to the body. Now, some not so homicidal consequences include risky sexual behaviors, including unprotected sex or sex with multiple partners that can result in unintended pregnancy or sexually transmitted diseases, including HIV. Miscarriages and stillbirth may occur among pregnant women who are excessive drinkers. And we're not done yet. Here are some long-term health risks. Excessive alcohol use leads to the development of chronic diseases and other serious problems such as high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, liver disease, digestive problems, cancer of the breast, mouth, throat, esophagus, voice box, liver, colon, and rectum. There's also weakened immune system, learning and memory problem that may include dementia. There's mental health problems, including depression and anxiety. There's also the social aspect of it, which people tend to not think about often. It really strains relationships with family, friends, or even partners, and it becomes really, really hard to keep a job or a home. Now, this symptoms may not apply to all binge drinkers, but that does not let you guys off the hook. Like, it does not let you guys off because there are still significant risks to binge drinking. That being said, if you're a binge drinker and you're still in the pre-contemplation stage of drinking, which means that you do not think you have a problem or have no interest in changing your drinking behavior, here are some things that you should not do. If you're driving or if you plan to drive or participate in activities requiring skills, coordination, or alertness, I guess a good example would be going to a gun range. Yeah, do not do that. Also, do not drink alcohol if you're taking certain medications, even if they're over-the-counter. A good example would be Tylenol, which is your generic acetaminophen. While it's okay to take a single dose if your head's pounding after a few drinks, it's definitely not okay to take it if you're a regular drinker or a binge drinker while taking daily high doses of Tylenol. I definitely do not recommend. A good prescription example would be Flagyl, which is your generic metronidazole. If you're on this or if you're taking this for an infection, please do not drink alcohol or definitely go for it. I'm just kidding, don't do it. You're going to feel so crappy, you'd probably never drink again. Now, if you're not sure which medications should not be taken with alcohol, Google it or ask your friendly neighborhood pharmacist around the corner. Not me, around the corner. Now, if you're pregnant, do not drink alcohol. Please, for the sake of that baby, do not do it. If you're recovering from alcohol addiction, you probably should not be drinking either. Now, if you're in the contemplation phase, meaning that you know you have a problem, but you're not sure where to start, check out the CDC dietary guidelines for alcohol consumption or visit SAMHSA.gov. Again, it's SAMHSA.gov. It is such a great resource for behavioral health, such as substance abuse or mental illness. But on that guideline, this dietary guidance for alcohol, I would just give you some quick facts up here. Now, this is for everybody, anyone who is considering drinking, but drinking healthily. Now, a standard drink is a 12-ounce beer, which would be a 12-ounce glass of beer, but then there's percentages. If you want all that details, go on the website. But this would be a 12-ounce beer, an 8-ounce malt liquor, 5-ounce wine, or 1.5 ounce of distilled spirit. So that would be your gin, rum, vodka, or whiskey. The recommendation is one drink or less for females, two drinks or less for males per day. And when I say one drink, I mean one drink of those sizes that I recommended, not a whole big, huge glass of wine or any other drink, please, you guys. Anyways, so drink in moderation, you guys, and save life, yours included. Now that I have gone on my long rant about alcohol and drinking, I'm hoping that this will really stimulate some thoughts, opinions, or questions. I welcome all of it, all of it. So don't hesitate to reach out to me. Now, we have come to an end, or to the end, I don't know why I keep saying an end, to the end of this episode, and I really hope that you guys enjoyed it, and if not, come at me, bro. I'm just kidding. Okay, like I say on every single episode, subscribe if you haven't already so you do not miss another episode. Also, leave a positive review and drop a comment. Let me know how you feel about this episode and what you would like to hear more about more in the future episodes. Find me on Instagram, Facebook at HelpFacts, facts spelled with the CX at the end. Please slide into my DM. I welcome it. Also, check out my blog at www.helpfacts.com. Same spelling. Now, if you're not about social media, you can use that to reach out to me about topics that you're interested in hearing more about. Again, thank you guys for listening, and I will see you next Wednesday.